Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Erin.
And this is 31 Nights of Scary Shit. Oh, heller.
Oh, heller.
See, I'm not going to confuse Erin ever again with a weird intro. I'm so sorry. I feel so bad. It was so stupid of me.
Threw me off.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right. I've recovered.
So now I'm having another brainstorm of this postcard that we're going to send with the sticker. What if we did some sort of interactive thing where they then had to send it back?
Ooh, yeah, I like that.
That might be fun, like a little game, like a shithead game.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That's like a shithead game through the mail. That'd be fun. Yeah. If you have ideas for that, send us an email, 31nightsofscaryshit@gmail.com, friends. So we've been doing some like spooky places, some scary things. So I thought I would dive into the world of scary stories again this day. I almost said this week, but it's a daily episode, these tiny turds, these tiny, tiny turds. So I have four stories today from Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, our book compendium, whatever the hell it's called. When you got more than one book in a situation. Oh, anyway, I got four
anthology?
Stories. Anthology? I don't know.
No.
Who knows? Isn't that poems? No, I guess an anthology can be short stories too. Anyway, regardless of that, two of which I have background stories for, two of which I do not because they're short and kind of spooky, but it kind of reminds me of some other episodes that we did.
I'm sure it does. I'm looking at the picture and
it's not good. The picture for this one. Spooky. So this is from, the picture she's looking at is the hearse one from when we did the hearse song.
Yeah.
In one of the earlier episodes, that's like the, music for it, which I don't ever want to sing, but the picture for this one is like a woman screaming, in the night. There's a little moon. And she looks pretty horrific.
Maybe that's Elizabeth,
Pratt
from the Screaming Woman from
Spooky
from Fort Mifflin.
Oh,
that we referenced in one of our prior episodes.
You should go back and watch it. That's or listen to that. That's our 75th episode.
75th. Yeah.
Wow. Is that going to be the jingle every time we reference that episode? I mean, I'm okay with it, but like, I just need to be prepared because I feel like I should be the like at the end. You know what I mean? And I don't know why every time I do it, my eyebrows go up like I'm a cartoon character.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like, what is wrong with me? Who knows? But anyway, this first story is called The Girl Who Stood on a Grave.
Love that.
All right, I'm going to get real close to the microphone and try and get real spooky with it.
Sorry about that noise. Dim the lights and, like, put a flashlight up in your face.
I'm not doing that. This is not a visual medium. Okay. I mean, or you can turn the light off if you want to be spooky. But it is raining. It could be spooky. Go turn the light off. So we're going to get spooky with it for a second. Again, we know this is not a visual medium, but we are setting the scene, and I'm going
to
read it very dramatically. Ooh, it is spooky in here. Okay. Some boys and girls were at a party one night. There was a graveyard down the street, and they were talking about how scary it was. "Don't ever stand on a grave after dark," one of the boys said. "The person inside will grab you. He'll pull you under." "That's not true," one of the girls said. "It's just a superstition." "I'll give you $1 if you stand on a grave," said the boy. "A grave doesn't scare me," said the girl. "I'll do it right now." The boy handed her his knife. "Stick this knife in one of the graves," he said. "Then we'll know you were there." The graveyard was filled with shadows and was as quiet as death. "There's nothing to be scared of," the girl told herself, but she was scared anyway. She picked out a grave and stood on it. Then quickly, she bent over and plunged the knife into the soil, and she started to leave. But she couldn't get away. Something was holding her back. She tried a second time to leave, but she couldn't move. She was filled with terror. "Something has got me," she screamed, and she fell to the ground. When she didn't come back, the others went to look for her. They found her body sprawled across the grave. Without realizing it, she had plunged the knife through her skirt and had pinned it to the ground. It was only the knife that held her. She had died of fright.
Oh my god.
Right? That's a spooky.
That's a terrifying one.
Ew. That's like that. It's the same kind of feeling that I get when I think of the taphophobia of being like buried alive. Like it's that same, like you can't escape, so you die from being terrified. Right? Horrifying. Horrifying. It was a good one though.
You know, I've walked over graves many times. I don't know that.
It is a superstition, though, that you shouldn't walk over graves.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to say I'm like, I'm just going to stomp on the stone, but I mean, I've definitely stood at the on burial sites plenty of times.
But you can see where it comes from, of like, you don't want to disrespect the dead, you know, you can see it from the perspective of like, of course kids are going to mess around, but that's another way of being like, kids, stay out of fucking graveyards, you fucking pieces of shit. Mm-hmm. I love kids, don't get me wrong, but like, pieces of shit kids go into graves and plunge knives into graves.
Yeah.
It's like putting a flag somewhere or taking something, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I think I read that really well.
Yeah.
It was spooky. If you got scared, I'm sorry. Or am I? Dun, dun, dun. Anyway, so the next story is going to sound very, 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 very familiar to like anyone that has ever watched anything that could be remotely scary ever. Yes. It's called The Hook.
Because this is the epitome of the urban legend.
Well, we kind of have already covered it in a manner of speaking.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll get to that in a second, because this is one of the ones that I did do a background on because of the historical significance. So, again, we're going to get real spooky up in here. Donald and Sarah went to the movies. Yeah, of course, Sarah. That's my only interjection so far. Then they went for a ride in Donald's car. They parked up on a hill at the edge of town. From there, they could see the lights up and down the valley. Donald turned on the radio and found some music, but an announcer broke in with a news bulletin. A murderer had escaped from the state prison. He was armed with a knife and was headed south on foot. His left hand was missing. In its place, he wore a hook. "Let's roll up the windows and lock the doors," said Sarah. "That's a good idea," said Donald. "That prison isn't too far away," said Sarah. "Maybe we really should go home." "But it's only 10 o'clock, said Donald. "I don't care what time it is," she said. "I want to go home." "Look, Sarah," said Donald. "He's not going to climb all the way up here. Why would he do that? Even if he did, all the doors are locked. How could he get in?" "Donald, he could take that hook and break through the window and open a door," she said. "I'm scared. I want to go home." Donald was annoyed. "Girls always are afraid of something," he said. As he started the car, Sarah thought she heard someone or something scratching at her door. "Did you hear that?" she asked as they roared away. "It sounded like somebody was trying to get in." "Oh, sure," said Donald. Soon they got to her house. "Would you like to come in and have some cocoa?" she asked. "No," he said. "I've got to go home." He went around to the other side of the car to let her out. Hanging on the door handle was a hook.
Yeah.
Wah-ha-ha-ha-ha. Anyway, so yeah, if that sounds familiar, that's because that's probably one of the most common urban legends in American history of the hook hand, which, as you can tell, primarily was to discourage teenagers from hooking up in on lovers' lanes.
Well, it didn't work.
It did not work at all. The origins of the hook legend are not entirely known, though according to folklorists and historians, it started to circulate in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
David Mickelson, who's a pretty famous writer, has speculated the legend might have roots in real lovers' lanes murders, such as the 1946 Texarkana Moonlight Murders, which, if you haven't listened to that episode, you should go back and listen to it.
I should pull up the exact numbers.
Yes, she will pull it up. And absolutely, you should pause this episode right now and go listen to it because it's really good. And it pretty much mirrors this story almost 100%. I mean, minus the fact that those people were actually murdered and these people weren't murdered.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see where a story like that would lead to an urban legend like this. Like, hey, you don't want to die, so don't go there.
Yes.
Do you know what number it is?
It's episode 12.
Ooh, episode 12, friends. We've got lots of references to last year's.
From October 12th, 2020.
Oh, there we go.
The Texarkana murders. Yeah.
Go back and listen to that, friends. It's a good one. The first known publication of the story occurred in on November 8th of 1960 when a reader letter telling the story was reprinted in Dear Abby.
Mm-hmm.
And it reads, Dear Abby, if you are interested in teenagers, you will print this story. I don't know whether it's true or not, but it doesn't matter because it served its purpose for me. A fellow and his date pulled into his favorite, into their favorite lover's lane to listen to the radio and do a little necking. For you children that don't know what necking means, making out. The music was interpreted by an announcer who said there was an escaped convict in the area who had served time for rape and robbery. An even more specific statement.
Mm-hmm.
He was described as having a hook instead of a right hand. In the story, it was a left hand. The couple became frightened and drove away. When the boy took his girl home, he went around to open the car door for her. Then he saw a hook on the door handle. I will never park to make out as long as I live. I hope this does the same for other kids. Jeanette. And with no big shock, this hook is thought to be related to the phallic sexual desires of men being cut off via amputation or loss of limb and replaced with a hook and then taking it out on teenagers. So, an emasculated man wanting to ruin a good time for everyone else.
Huh.
Toxic masculinity ruins it for everyone again. That's how I feel about
Absolutely.
It. Yeah. So anyway, if you've ever seen Twilight Zone or any kind of like anthology collection, there's always a hook, man.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Always.
Well, and I Know What You Did Last Summer movie.
Oh yeah.
There's
a new one of that. A new series coming out. I Know What You Did Last Summer, which I'm kind of excited about and I'm going to watch. But my next story that I picked is called The Bride, which I also did research for because I thought it was a pretty interesting story and it does have like actual historical significance, which I thought was interesting. It's called The Bride and the picture is pretty terrifying. You can't really tell in this light, but it's a woman sitting kind of like in the fetal position
mm-hmm.
with flowers and like a dress of some sort. And there's like a spider web.
Yeah.
It's creepy. And her mouth's like a gape. And she's got jacked up teeth and a weird wonky eye, just to be really descriptive. But here we go. We're going to have my very close rendition of this now. Okay, The Bride. The minister's daughter had just gotten married. After the wedding ceremony, there was a great feast with music and dancing and contests and games, even old children's games. When they got to playing hide and seek, the bride decided to hide in her grandfather's trunk up in the attic. They'll never find me there, she thought. As she was climbing into the trunk, the lid came down and cracked her on the head, and she fell unconscious inside. The lid slammed shut and locked. No one will ever know how long she called for help, or how hard she struggled to free herself from that tomb. Everyone in the village searched for her, and they looked almost everywhere, but no one thought of looking in the trunk. After a week, her brand new bridegroom and all the others gave her up for lost. Years later, a maid went up into the attic looking for something she needed. Maybe it's in the trunk, she thought. She opened it and screamed. There lay the missing bride in her wedding dress, but by then she was only a skeleton. Disturbing. Yes, so that, in case you were curious, is kind of quasi-linked to the hook story in that it's another way of trying to suppress like sexuality in some sort of way. That's the reference point for it of like trying to suppress like young femininity mm-hmm. by being a young bride that's being in like entombed
mm-hmm.
By your own folly kind of situation. Yeah. Kind of annoying. So it comes from an old English tale about the legend of Mistletoe Bough. Which can be linked to many different actual estates in England, like actual houses now. The tale first appeared in print in the form of a poem entitled Ginevra in his book Italy. That was from 1822. Rogers states, the story is, I believe, founded on fact, though the time and the place are uncertain. Many old houses lay claim to it. I was going to read it, but it was too damn long, and in the 1800s language which is just too hard right now. But essentially, there are lots of legends of these old estates of these spooky things happening. Women getting locked into rooms and dying, men going crazy and, like, murdering a whole bunch of people. There's always, like, spooky fucking stories about spooky fucking houses. Mm-hmm. And this is another one of those. The popularity of the tale was greatly increased when it appeared as a song in the 1830s entitled The Mistletoe Bough. Its solemn chanting was referred to as a national occurrence at Christmas.
What?
In English households. And by 1862, the song was referred to as one of the most popular songs ever written, which must be known by heart by many readers. Yeah, all about a woman dying in a trunk.
Oh my God.
You know, real British. Real, let's shit on everything. It sounds old and folksy, the actual song. And again, I was going to play it, like, during this, but it's hard to understand the lyrics without captions, and podcasts don't have captions, but I might post the song on, like, Twitter or something. And the story of Mistletoe Bough is also recounted in the 1948 Alfred Hitchcock film, Rope.
Oh, I've never seen Rope.
Which I will now explain to you for those listeners who also don't know.
Because that's one of his movies I've not seen.
It's said to be the favorite tale of the main character, Brandon Shaw. Unbeknownst to the storyteller, Shaw has previously murdered his friend, former classmate David Kentley, and hidden the body in the chest in front of which they are standing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I kind of like the story is about that being his favorite story and how it reflects it back. So it's kind of interesting.
Okay.
But yeah, I thought that was a pretty cool one, and one that connected to something that, you know, you also enjoy Hitchcock. So I thought it was interesting that something so old like that became like super popular in England, and then also then Hitchcock takes it and does like a cool, like, modernized version of it where it kind of like reclaims the story and
He loved British stories. He loved British authors. So
it's just kind of fascinating to me. I didn't realize that something like that was actually in this book. You know, when I read this, when I was a kid, it was like, you know, just scary stories. I didn't realize the significance of them. So it's pretty interesting. but I figured I'd end with all around creepy one.
That one, I hate the picture.
Just an all that's around those creepy one.
That's like the black shadow pajamas.
Black shadow pajamas. Oh, wow. Okay. So yeah, black shadow pajamas. So the picture we're looking at is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 creepy looking shadowy people in black shadowy pajamas, essentially. And all you can really see are their eyes. And it's a short one again, but, and I didn't do research on the backstory of it because, as you'll see, it's pretty related to many, many stories, but sorry if I blew your eardrums out, but I'm getting close to the mic so I can read it. This is called Like Cat's Eyes. As Jim Brand lay dying, his wife left him with his nurse and went into the next room to rest. She sat in the dark, staring into the night. Suddenly, Mrs. Brand saw headlights come rapidly up the driveway. Oh no, she thought, I don't want visitors now, not now. But it wasn't a car bringing a visitor. It was an old hearse with maybe a half dozen small men hanging from the sides. At least that's what it looked like. The hearse screeched to a stop. The men jumped off and stared up at her, their eyes glowing with a soft yellow light like cat's eyes. She watched with horror as they disappeared into the house. An instant later, they were back, lifting something into the hearse. Then they drove off at high speed, wheels squealing, the gravel in the driveway flying in all directions. At that moment, the nurse came in to say that Jim Brand had died.
Yeah.
Right? Just fucking creepy. Literally, I don't know if it has any kind of context other than, you know, implying that death comes before death comes, if that makes any sense. But how creepy. And it goes with the picture so perfectly.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's the Hearseman, I've heard referred to a lot.
It's like the scene in Ghost when the bad guy dies and those awful shadows come. And
it's pretty bad. Pretty bad. But anyway, super creepy. Hope you liked another installment of Scary Stories. We'll bring you more at some point. Maybe it'll be an October theme for us. That might be fun. But we want to make sure that you follow us on all the social medias, that you support us on Buy Me a Coffee. It'd be really awesome if you bought us a couple slices. We'll send you a free sticker. It'll be really cool. And send us your stories, your shithead stories at 31nightsofscaryshit@gmail.com so that we can read it on another installment of those. It'd be super, super, super cool, friends. And make sure to
stay spooky.
Bye.